Amen. We are ready for a word from the, how many are ready for a word for the Lord? How many are ready for that? Oh, that don't even sound right. How many are ready for a word? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got to be ready to roll out. Today we are excited. I've got an opportunity to co-share this pulpit with one of our own ministers. And I'm excited that we got a chance to hear a word that the Lord has placed into our heart. And then I'm going to come right behind her and finish that word up. And so I want you to get ready for what God's going to do through our own minister, Dayla Graham. And would you give her a hand as she comes? Minister to him, all right?
Woo! You may be seated. I want to go ahead and get started. I want to say thank you, and I want to honor our bishop for even giving me the opportunity to minister what the Lord has put on my heart to minister. And I want to honor our elders and our ministers and for all you do to ensure that we're a church of unity. And I also want to honor my husband, who is my spiritual head. I love you, son. I love you, baby. And with all that being said, I am going to go ahead and get started. It's something... The thing that I'm going to minister today, the Lord has had on my heart for months. And I know that it's needed for our church. I know that it's needed for each and every one of us to experience what God has called us to experience in this life. So I'm going to minister on unity. And unity is so important. Unity is so very important. And I want to start. Let me just give a definition of what unity is. When I looked it up, I found that it was defined as oneness, oneness of mind, oneness of feeling, being on one accord with one another, in harmony, and in agreement. And I don't know about you, but when I used to think about unity, I used to be so scared. I'm like, man, I'm supposed to be in unity with all these people. It's so scary to me. I got to give up my own dreams, what I thought is important, what I think is the right way to do things. I got to give all of that up to do what everybody wants to do. And another thing I used to think that was contrary to unity was, let me just step in the background. Let me not say anything to anybody if something's going wrong. Let me just hide in the background because I don't want to rock the boat. That's in unity. I have to be in unity. I have to create unity. But that was wrong as well. But if you're in any one of those categories, I want to challenge us as Frontier Church today. I want to challenge us that unity is God's way. It is His way. It is the way He moves. It is what He moves through. And when we think about something as simple as the Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when they're all working together, that is how God moved. You know, so he's not about working by himself. Trust me, when he gives you something, it's to fit within a body. So don't feel like, oh man, I'm in my prayer closet and God has just endowed me with this thing. So I need to go and be apart, separate and apart from what God is doing in a group. God is leading me and he's doing. No, God doesn't work like that. He works that we're fitly joined together, that we are a blessing to each other. So if you feel like God, oh man, God has called me to be a pastor. Let me go ahead and start my own church or God has called me out into this ministry. I'm all by myself. Let me leave where God has planted me. I'm telling you, God's not in that. So, with that being said, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge us to think of some, I want to challenge us to change some of our ways if we've been thinking that way. And we're a church, we're a church body. You know, there are many churches, church bodies. We're a church body here, Frontier Church. And there are some key things that we need to make sure. And I'm going to challenge us for each one of us to fight for these things. We need to make sure that we don't find ourselves in any of these things that I'm about to mention. You want to write them down? You can write them down. The first one is not guarding our tongues. Man, we can find so much that we don't like. We can find so much that we don't agree with. But what should we do with that? Oh man, let me get on the phone. What did you think about Bishop's message today? Oh man. The praise and worship team sings too many slow songs. The ushers always want to push me up to the front. What is? I don't know. I like the church. I like the church. I feel the presence. But I don't know. Do you know that those negative words have sown a seed in the person that was listening? And it can sow a seed of discord among the brethren just because you wanted to vent your negativity? No. Those little things are nothing to God. What we sing, the style we sing in, that means nothing. Unity is everything. So if you find yourself not guarding your tongue, guard your tongue. It makes a difference. Another thing that I want to talk about is guarding your ears. And I found myself in this place. I'm going to be honest. I haven't always guarded my ears. I've allowed myself to be people's garbage dumps. I was the person people was calling sometimes. Man, no. And then after a while, I'm realizing, number one, I'm feeling guilty. And you think you're feeling guilty because you just allow that person's weight to become your weight. No, a part of it is you're feeling guilty because you didn't do what God said do about it. And that is stopping it. So with that being said, I want to just highlight a scripture. And if we can go to Matthew 5, 23 through 24. And while we're waiting on that, I just want to just encourage us to be mindful of the atmosphere that we have around us. You know, we have to guard that. Guard that. Make sure that it is holy. Make sure that we're not allowing negativity in our ears. Make sure that we're not allowing negativity to come out of our mouths. So we have the scripture here. And I'm going to read this scripture. It says, therefore, and this is so funny. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first. Be reconciled with your brother. Now, this scripture tells us a lot about the character of God. Now, when you're presenting your offering at the altar, when I think about that, I think about us serving. You know, we're presenting our offering. We are praising God. We're on the praise team. We're on the usher team. We're in leadership. We're presenting offerings unto God. But God, if God knows that if there is something negative or if there is some dissension between you and the next person, he wants you to get that together first. Even before you present something to him. So that's letting us know he doesn't care about servitude. He doesn't care about that as much as holiness, as purity. So keep that in mind when we're away from the church. God is mindful of those interactions that we have separate and apart from what goes on in here. You know, and I had to learn that. I thought doing everything in the church was all that God wanted from me. You know, for somebody, my leader to say, oh, good job. Oh, you're always in place. You're doing everything you need to do. But yet my relationships were full of negativity and speaking negative. I had to learn that God didn't want my offering if my interactions with the next person was not right. So let's be on guard for that. Let's make sure that our mind is renewed and that we understand exactly what God wants from us. The next thing, and this is a big one, and this is the last one I'm going to discuss today, is not being in obedience. And it's so easy for us to say, man, I obey the word. You know, I give to the poor. I give to the homeless. I pray for the orphan. I do everything that I even pray. I do all this stuff. But it's a part of the word that we need to make sure that we're in obedience to. And that's being in obedience to those who have authority over us. And I'm telling you, God has placed someone at the helm of this church, and it's his anointing that is on our leadership. It's his anointing that has been put in place to catapult us to where God wants us to be. So, with that being said, let me just read the scripture so we can know that it is in the word. Hebrews 13 and 17, if we can find that. Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Guys, this is so good. Oh my goodness. They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy. Let our leaders do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So, one of the main ways we can stay in unity is to just respect and obey the one that God has put over us. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought about a while back. It was a while back. Some of you may remember, some of you may not. But our bishop gave us some instruction. And it was called 30-30-30. How many remember that? If you remember the 30-30-30, raise your hand. And what it was we were supposed to pray for 30 minutes, read the Bible for 30 minutes, and study the word for 30 minutes. And then we went to 60-60-60, pray the word, read the Bible for an hour, pray the word for an hour, and study the word for an hour, and 90-90-90, and so forth and so on. Now, The thing, though, he said, I want everybody to do this. I want every single person. It came from my bishop. Everybody do this thing, and I guarantee that if you do it, you will experience God in a way that you had never experienced it before. It was a guarantee. Now, obedience to that word meant what? That you would experience God in a way that you had never experienced him before. Something as simple as that. If you didn't obey that word, you found yourself on the outskirts, not experiencing the word that God, not experiencing the life of the challenge that God has put before us. Now, when God puts those things in place, we obey. So we can know the life that comes out of obedience. The experience that comes out of obedience. And again, obedience is better than sacrifice. We can serve all day, but if we don't take the time to obey those key things, we're missing out. You know, God, because I look and speak for myself. I say, man, God, I want to see you. I want to experience you. I'm crying, God, I want to know you, Jesus. Oh, you know, and am I the only one? God, I want to feel your tangible presence. Am I the only one that's been there like, oh my gosh, my husband will tell you, I'm crying all the time about that. But God will say, okay, I'm going to set this in place. Almost like a race. You know, if you walk to the end of the race, you'll get to the finish line. You'll get what you want. I'll set this in place. Read my word for 30 minutes. Pray for 30 minutes. And study my word for 30 minutes. And man, you're going to experience me in a new way. Oh man, I get home. Oh man, I got to cook. Oh man. Oh man. Tomorrow I'm going to do 60. 60, 60, 60. After a while you at 240, 240, 240. But God, I want to experience you in a new way. I'm telling you, he hears our prayers. And he's answering them. But I guarantee if we obey the things that are put in front of us, take every message like that. Take every message that's preached as a challenge, as an instruction. And I guarantee you, if we come on one accord in that way, we will experience unity. And it'll be unity in our identity in Christ. Not unity to a person, because he's not leading us to himself. He's leading us to him. So if we come on one accord with that, we'll be unified in our identity in Christ. Amen? Now, another thing I was thinking about as I was reflecting on this message, I was thinking about a lamp. And what's the point of having a lamp in your bedroom and the lights aren't working, or maybe you don't have a light up there, but you have a lamp? What's the point of having that lamp beside your bed at night, but you never turn it on? That's how it is when we're not in fellowship. The only way for us to truly be in unity, as I just said before, is for us to be in fellowship with God. And those things that I mentioned before helps us to be in fellowship with God. But again, what's the purpose of having a lamp? and that lamp is by your bed. And it's, and we're not using it for the purpose that it's called for. We are sons of God. We are sons of God. But if we don't take the time to plug in, we're like a lamp that is serving no purpose. We're like a lamp that has no power. We're basically putting on a show. We look pretty. We can be identified, I'm a son of God, but that power that he's calling us to show forth is not being shown forth. And the people around us, they're getting shortchanged because they're not seeing the light that's in you. Wouldn't it be much better if we plug in? And man, I don't have to try to read in the dark in my room at night. Wouldn't it be better if we shine like the lamp that we are? Yeah. And I also began to think about unity, and I thought about it's Christmas season. And I thought about a string of Christmas lights. I want us to envision that. We're pulling out the Christmas tree. We're ready to decorate that Christmas tree, and we have a string of Christmas lights. We plug that Christmas light in, and all the lights are working except two. What's your first initial thought? Your first initial thought isn't, oh, man, we don't have power coming in this house. No, we know we have power. We know we have power because there's light on this line. There's power going through this line because we see the light. But my first initial thought is, oh, man, something's wrong with that bulb. Something's wrong with those two bulbs. Now, and I begin to think about that as it relates to church, our church. Man, we have so much power flowing through this church. So much power flowing through this church. And I can look at the person, my neighbor next to me, and say, oh, man, they're moving, they're growing. Their whole life has changed. And I can look at the person on this side and say, man, oh, man, they touching people and they're healed. Oh, man, this person, they got the word in them. They're quoting scriptures left and right. But if I can look at myself and say, oh, man, I'm not experiencing that same light. I can't point my finger to the church that I'm a part of. I can't say it's the power source because the power source is intact. It's something that's going on in that bulb. It's something that's going on in me. There is a shortage somewhere. So, with that being said, now, the thing is, though, what do we do? What do we typically do with this string of lights? A blown bulb, it has to be replaced. Because in unity, when we are unified, we all shine. And when you, and I'm telling you, each one of us has the opportunity to shine. This is not a downer on anybody. We all have the opportunity to shine. And I'm telling you, once we're all shining, it's a beautiful display that we can wrap around our Christmas tree, and people are going to drive by our house and say, wow, they decorated their house. It's so pretty. Let me go in. Let me go in. I see the light. So God is calling us to unity. Not unity to a person, not loyalty to a person, as our bishop always tells us, but unity to him, to his identity, what he's called us to be. That's what he's calling us to unity to. And in my closing, I want to talk about really quick about some what unity produces. Unity in the Bible, every time, and we're not going to go to these scriptures. I'm going to give them to you. You can read them up the stories at home. Every time there was unity present, God had to come down. Even in the Tower of Babel. Now, we had all these people. They unified. They said, man, we're going to come together and we're going to build a tower so high that it's going to reach heaven. Man, I haven't seen anybody try that in our days. Nobody. But the key is, he said that it would happen. They are so unified that nothing would be withheld from them. Nothing. So God saw this unity, and he had to come down and make sure that his will was accomplished. Even in that situation, he had to change their language. That's probably how we got Chinese and English and all that stuff. He had to do it, because if he didn't, man, these people was going to get their goal. He had to come down. And another one is on the day of Pentecost. And the key about the day of Pentecost is it was a time of ritual, tradition. Everybody's doing all of this stuff that they've been doing for years, coming to do this. But God had given these group of people an instruction. All these people was down there. Down there. I don't know if everybody remembers the story. People were down there. People were filling the city. But God had given these people an instruction to go up in the upper room. He wasn't down there. He was in the upper room. He was planning to do something new. And these people got together and they began to pray, and the women began to pray, and everybody began to praise God in the spirit of unity with one purpose, because they had gotten an instruction to do so and they believed it and walked it out. God came down in that room and demonstrated himself in a way that he had never done before. Can you think about that? That's the power of unity. God demonstrated him what was in his heart to do all this time. He was able to use this group of people to do it, to demonstrate it, to demonstrate himself. It wasn't about them. But he used the flesh and the bones to demonstrate himself in the earth. People had never heard tongues before that time. But God said, oh, look what I can do. Look what I can do. Don't you want to experience God in that way? How many want to experience God in that way? Let's check ourselves. Let's fight for unity. We ought to be excited to be unified, because that's going to be a platform God is going to use Frontier in an amazing way. That's in his heart for us. His heart for our church. Can we give him a praise just for that? that he's going to use us in an amazing way to demonstrate himself to the earth in a way he had never done before. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I want to be a part of that. So on that note, let's be unified. Let's fight for it. Let's shut our ears. Let's close our mouth. Let's do more praying. Let's do more obeying. Let's do more coming together. Let's do more finding our identity in Christ. And he will use you to demonstrate his power. Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you hear the message?
Yes.
Did you hear that message?
Yes.
Listen, church. God wants to do something abundantly above all we can think or even ask. But it starts with us. Less talking. Less murmuring. Let's just stop the complaining. Let's just, everybody just do this. Just, it ain't worth it. Because if I kill his bulb, that makes mine shine even less. So let me try to encourage his bulb to be lit. Because when he's lit for Christ, I get caught up in Christ. You get caught up in Christ. We get caught up in Christ. And we become a light set on a hill. That's what we want. I will not hurt my brother. I will not hurt my sister. I trust God in their life. I trust God to take care of them. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to say words. I can just say, God, do it for them. Work it in their life. Come on. What if, let me get this. What if we stopped seeing the worst in each other? And started praying the potential we see in somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. I know they're struggling right now, but I know what's in her. I know she can do it. I know she can change a person's life. I know she can speak life into somebody. Listen, I don't have to worry about where you are today because God is the God of tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So I can trust he's going to change something. So if I'm talking about you today, I'm talking about the past. Because God ain't done with you yet. I want you to stand to your feet, please. Come on. Woo! The word of the Lord through this sister. The word of the Lord through this sister. Leave your gift at the altar. And if you have an ought with somebody, go make it right first. Don't hold on to that thing. Don't bring it into a holy place. Don't tell God to accept it. Leave your gift and go make yourself right. And then come back and worship. That's how unity happens. When we worship without alts. When we worship without grudges, when we realize people make mistakes, but it doesn't change what God has in mind for them. I want you to turn to somebody and say, forgive me if I said anything against you. Ask him honestly, forgive me. Forgive me. I want you to turn to the other side and say, I will pray forgiveness over you if you said anything against anyone else. You can set them free by your words. Hey, listen, I say you're free. You're free from every word, from every dimension of someone saying you can't, you won't, you can't have. I loose it over your life. I set you free. That you right now can run with what God's plans are for your life. This is the day where your walk becomes real. God, this isn't church. This is Christ living in me. This is where it begins. Are you willing to kill the flesh so that your spirit man can grow? So you can see the wonders of the Lord. How many are willing to do that? All right.